From the Danker Studio on Library Square, this is The Rundown, a live exploration of local news, current events, and issues that matter to you. Today on the program, we have a conversation with Fraser Nelson, Executive Director of the Community Foundation of Utah, about the role of philanthropy in society and about making effective charitable contributions.
Don't be trite and just looking at the superficial math of an organization. Look deeply at the contribution that organization makes to the welfare of our community. And please designate your gift so that the executive director and the board of that organization can use it as they best see fit.
That discussion and political cornflakes with the Salt Lake Tribune's Washington correspondent Thomas Burr, just ahead on The Rundown here on KCPW. And welcome back to The Rundown. I'm Roger McDonough. A little bit later in the program, we're going to feature a conversation with Fraser Nelson, Executive Director of the Community Foundation of Utah, to hear about that organization and about philanthropy in the state. But first, we have these news stories. Utah U.S. Representative Chris Stewart faced a bombardment of questions related to immigration reform on Thursday. The congressman from Utah's 2nd District held open hours at his Salt Lake City office. But because of some confusion over the format of the meeting, a large crowd of mostly Latino constituents gathered in Stewart's lobby, anticipating a town hall-style meeting. Overwhelmed by the size of the crowd, Stewart was mulling over scheduling another meeting to better address their concerns. Currently, he has a meeting scheduled for Wednesday, September 4th, at the Sweet Library in Salt Lake City. Despite the less-than-ideal conditions, Proyecto Latino director Tony Yapias was pleased with the meeting.
This was a good opportunity for many of the Latinos that were there and others who came to just have a few minutes answering some questions and having a face-to-face interaction, which I thought it worked really well. I mean, we'll have an opportunity to have a much bigger meeting next week, but last night I thought it was more intimate because it was more personal.
Latinos have been critical of Stewart's positions on immigration reform, most notably his reluctance to provide a pathway to citizenship for those currently residing in the United States illegally. But Yapias says the gap is narrowing for both sides in the immigration debate.
I was very impressed with Congressman Stewart's very sincere and frank conversation that he and I had and with the other Latinos where he wants immigration reform. Where we differ is on the path to citizenship. And he mentioned that, well, he doesn't support any special path to citizenship. And certainly that's also that I don't want. And I don't want any special path to citizenship. We want an earned path to citizenship, which is, I think, different. And I think at the end of the day, you know, as he himself said, I think we agree in 80% of the whole issue.
In June of this year, the U.S. Senate passed a comprehensive immigration reform bill, but it remains to be seen whether a plan can pass out of the House of Representatives. Representative Stewart has said he opposes the Senate bill. KCPW was unable to reach Stewart for comment on Friday. A Provo man has been taken into custody after reports he fired shots in his backyard. A SWAT team had the man's house surrounded. The Daily Herald reports that the man was placed in a police cruiser shortly after police used flash grenades, apparently to flush him out of the house. The standoff lasted hours Friday, and police evacuated homes they said were in the line of fire. No injuries were reported. Lieutenant Matt Siufanua says the man was inside his home alone and may have been intoxicated, and that he was upset about a domestic situation. Another Utah oil refinery has reached a settlement with federal regulators over pollution violations. The U.S. Department of Justice and the Environmental Protection Agency announced Friday that Big West Oil, LLC, has agreed to pay a $175,000 fine and cut emissions of soot, nitrous oxide, and sulfur dioxide. Big West Oil operates a refinery in North Salt Lake. It agreed to spend $18 million to update emission controls, plus $353,000 to improve the monitoring of potential hydrofluoric acid releases. In addition, Big West agreed to update its leak detection and repair program to minimize fugitive benzene emissions. Friday's settlement resolved alleged violations of the Clean Air Act. Birders are flocking to Snowbird Ski Resort for an international convention. The American Bird Conservancy says hundreds of scientists, conservationists, and government officials from 16 countries will gather Sunday through Wednesday at the resort near Salt Lake City. Organizers say nearly a third of U.S. bird species are endangered, threatened, or in decline. The percentage is higher for grassland birds. Birders blame a loss of habitat, pesticides, and feral cats. The convention will develop a series of plans to bring birds back. They're calling the effort Partners in Flight. Organizers say the participants represent a who's who of bird conservation in the Western Hemisphere. News continues to break about NSA's surveillance programs. So what's the latest? I posed that question to Thomas Burr, Washington correspondent for the Salt Lake Tribune and author of Political Cornflakes, a daily online roundup of Utah politics.
The most recent one, of course, is one that affects people who live in Salt Lake, or at least people who lived in Salt Lake around the time of the 2002 Olympics. The Wall Street Journal reported this week that the NSA worked with the FBI for about a six-month period around the 2002 Salt Lake Olympics to essentially take in and intercept all text messages and emails that were sent during that time. They worked with Quest to do so. I talked to a lot of Utah officials yesterday about this. None of them were in the know about that. Doesn't mean that it didn't happen. It could mean that they just maybe weren't in the need-to-know bubble that the NSA would have told them what was actually happening. But they also noted that, you know, even the officials who were over, you know, security for the games didn't say that any of the information they might have collected was passed on to them in any form. I talked to Governor Mike Leavitt, former Governor Mike Leavitt, last night over email, and he told me he also wasn't aware of this. So if it was going on, it was obviously going on in a very, very top secret format that even the people over the games or even the top Utah officials were not aware of. That doesn't mean it didn't happen, of course. There are a lot of things that we're learning about the NSA that some other people didn't know. So the question remains, though, is, you know, if that was happening back then without a court order, you know, what does that mean for now? And the more and more we learn, too, there seems like a report every other day about either, you know, there were thousands of intercepted phone calls that had nothing to do with terrorism in the United States. The Wall Street Journal reported again this week that the NSA has access to some 75% of internet traffic in the domestic United States, which is, you know, a lot different than what they've told us before, and they don't spy on Americans. The biggest indication I think we're getting at all of this, though, is that there'll be plenty of follow-up from Congress who are not happy to look like they were the guys who didn't know about it.
Hey, you know, I'm wondering about, especially around the Salt Lake program during the 2002 Winter Olympics. That's not that long after September 11th, and I know that the security environment was much different, but were they getting and looking for sort of threat assessment by looking at these emails and text messages and whatever they were?
Sure. I mean, I talked to former Senator Bob Bennett last night, and he had a very good point. He, you know, he said he was, you know, in one of those big security command centers during the Olympics, and one of the top officials turned to him and said, "If there's a terrorist out there anywhere in the world, and they decide they want to turn their car towards Salt Lake City, we will know about them." Which is an indication they very much were concerned about terrorism after 9/11, and that they were putting as much resources into it as they could to make sure that there were, you know, no actual terrorist activities that went on. As Utahns know, there weren't any activities, any major incidents that happened during the games of terrorism. And it could be just that amazing security cloud kind of covered the games during that time. Now the question is, you know, what all were they doing? I don't know. I mean, how many people were texting people back in 2002? Email wasn't even as big back in 2002 as it is now. So, you know, who knows if that was the end-all be-all of what they were doing at the games.
But since that time, questions of invasion of privacy, civil liberties have been brought up, and so the Congress people are trying to make certain that they are not taking the blame for this.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more concern now of what the activities are, and there may be some reining in of what the NSA's activities are, or, you know, perhaps just more oversight from the judicial branch and legislative branch.
Great, Thomas. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Roger.
Thomas Burr is a Washington correspondent with the Salt Lake Tribune and author of Political Cornflakes. We speak with Burr weekly, and there's a link to Political Cornflakes on our website, kcpw.org. You're listening to The Rundown here on KCPW. We'll be right back.